Let me introduce myself. Not everybody here knows me. Some of you are new. Some people just never heard me preach before. My name's Eric Zukowski. I've been here since about 2004. 2004, I came here as a teenager. I didn't get saved till I was 17, 2007. My wife and I both come from broken homes, and we were reached through the bus ministry. That's where you say amen, folks. Bus ministry is fantastic. One of the best things that's ever happened to me was when somebody brought a church bus to my door. When my dad lost his license, they brought a church bus and they said, let's go to church. Somebody brought a church bus up north to where Miss Alicia was living and brought her down to the church. And I saw that chick and I said, yeah, I'm going to marry her. And God's been good to us. God's been good to us. I was 18 when I got married. Homegirl was 17. I don't know if that's proper English. She was 17. We got married. We weren't supposed to. I mean, that ain't normal. 18 and 17, but we did. We got a bunch of different apartments growing up. We grew up together. We were kids. We had no idea what we were doing. We didn't know how to work money, but we figured it out. Kept going to church every service. God kept telling me something new. Started putting these things in practice. Next thing you know, God's blessing us beyond what we ever thought. I graduated from Revival Baptist Christian School. I was born in Scranton. Listen to me. I was born in Scranton. I was born again in Scranton. I was trained in Scranton, and I was ordained in Scranton. I've been here my whole life. I've been a few other places, Wilkes-Barre. I lived a little while. I lived in Duryea. I've lived in Pittston. I've been everywhere, but I'm glad to be preaching today behind the pulpit in Scranton. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. How many of you here, you maybe went to Christian school or you've been here a little while, how many of you ever helped put up the sign outside? Raise your hand. Where's my people? A couple of you here, over there, you put up the sign before in front of the church. Now, right now, if you came into church, the sign's going to say something like, come in for a re-Bible revival. Is that what it says? Y'all better pay attention. Come on, we put that up for a reason, man. That's a lot of work. I didn't do it. Luke did it, I think. Did you do it? First time I ever put up the church sign, Pastor asked me and Bobby Hiller, and we went out there and we put up a great sign. It was doctrine, man. It was doctrine. It said, the Easter Bunny did not rise from the dead. That's good doctrine right there. And that's what we put up on the sign. And man, there's a process. You got to climb the ladder. You got to take down the things. You got that stupid door hitting you in the back as you're doing it. And you're putting the thing up. And it's annoying, man. It's annoying. But we do it. We put the sign up. 2019, Pastor had a great idea. He said, let's have a big day. We'll call it Beat the Devil Sunday. Beat the Devil Sunday. Now, we've done this before, and it was tragic. But we did it again. Pastor said, let's do it again. And I was kind of shaken when he said it. I was still twitching from last time we did Beat the Devil Sunday. 2019, he said, we're going to do Beat the Devil Sunday. So for those of you who remember, raise your hand if you remember Beat the Devil Sunday. What we did was we kind of pushed it like reverse psychology. Like, don't go to church. The devil don't want you to. Stay home and watch football that day. Don't go to church. That's how we pushed it, you know. It was reverse psychology. And so Pastor wanted to put out a sign in front of the church that was from the devil. He wanted the sign to say, don't go to this church. I hate this church. Satan. As though Satan wrote the sign, you know. I got a great idea. This is a problem here. When my gears start going, pastors change the sign so many times over the years, and some of the best signs are the ones he didn't put up that I told him to put up. I go to him sometimes, I'm like, Pastor, you know what we should put on the sign? He says, no. No. He said, do you want us killed? He said, do you want folks to... I said, yeah, I don't know, kind of. I want to stir the waters a little bit. So he says, I want on the sign, I hate this church, Satan. So he walks up, he comes up here. I'm in my classroom over here. Now it's my office. Back then it was my classroom. You say, what's the difference? Nothing. I just don't teach nobody in there no more. He walks in, he brings me the paper. He says, here's what I want on the sign. He gives it to the guy that's in the class, and he says, okay, can I go put up the sign? I said, yeah, go get the ladder. Put up the sign. Wait a second. Get the devil costume. Now, some of you know our devil costume. It's nasty. It's nasty. We here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, we believe in saving children, baptizing children, and scaring the liver out of them with our devil costume. I mean, that's our doctrine around here. How many of you have been to Vacation Bible School? Vacation Bible School, day one, everybody's singing, we're having a great time, and the stupid devil pops up. And everybody screams, and then he goes down, and then the next day we come in, and the devil pops up again, and we all sing, "Resist Satan, he will flee," and he goes. Third day, he pops out that door and scares everybody. Pastor grabs a pie and shoves the pie in the devil's face, and he goes running like a little chicken. How many know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. And then the next day, we say, "Let's get these kids baptized." And they won't. Because they saw the devil up there by the baptistry. They're like, no, that wasn't real. That's just a dude in a costume. We had a kid walk in one time while the devil was getting changed downstairs. They were getting ready for Vacation Bible School, and this kid walks in, and he was terrified of the devil. Marlene, you know who that is. That was Donovan. Donovan walked in. Bobby Hiller's putting on the devil costume. He walked in. He said, "What's wrong with you?" He was terrified. He didn't get baptized for months after he saw the devil. He was scared to death. Well, I told this fella, I said, put the sign up, but dress like the devil while you do it. We made the newspaper. We had the cops called. Let me read this to you here. Here is the transcript from the radio. Scranton, 2000 block of North Main Ave, Baptist Revival. Male in black clothing, a red cape, and red devil mask with horns changed the letters on the church sign to "Satan hates this church." That's what they put out on the radio. A couple minutes later, they put out, it seems to be intentionally done per the pastor. I was over here in my classroom, and next thing I know, there's a cop here, and everybody's like, "There's a cop walking around here, and he wants to know what's going on," and I, whoops. Let's put that article up here. We made the Times Tribune. Report of devil draws police to church. Look at that sign right there. "I hate this church. Don't come. Satan." We made the Times Tribune. And the article there talks about it. The cop came in. He's looking around. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Hey, you can take that away. Hallelujah. Years ago, I was about 11 years old. I lived in Wilkes-Barre. Who's here from Wilkes-Barre? We got some Wilkes-Barre folks here. I lived in Wilkes-Barre. It was 2001. My mom brought me and my brother to a job site. My mom's boyfriend fixed houses at the time, and she brought us to this job site. I have no idea where it was. Someplace in Wilkes-Barre. And she said, "You guys go play." Now I'm 11 years old. She said, "You guys go play. Do whatever you want. Come back tonight." Y'all remember that when mom would not let you home? You had to go and come back at night, you know? So mom says, "Go and play. Come back tonight. Just don't go to the coal banks." What the heck are coal banks? I got no idea. So I'm, "Sure, mom, I won't go to the coal banks." Me and my brother got around the bad kids. And the bad kids said, "We're going to the coal banks. You want to come?" "Of course I want to come. I ain't no dweeb." You know what, Brother Eric, your mom said, "Shh, you listen to your mom? Are you serious?" You know, I didn't want to be that kid. So the kid said, "Go to the coal banks. You ever been to?" "I'm always at the coal banks. I know everything about coal banks." So they go on to the coal banks. My brother goes home to tell on me. But me and these other kids, we went to the coal banks. And basically what it is, it's just big piles of coal everywhere. And so we walked around through the big mountains of coal, and we came across an abandoned firehouse. They said, "Let's go in the abandoned firehouse." And I thought, just something about abandoned firehouses that says, "Let's not go in the abandoned firehouse." But nevertheless, I followed the kids in. I get in there. Now, you ready? On the floor is a big circle. Somebody painted a big circle on the floor with a 5-point star in the middle of the circle. There's little pieces of candles all over the place. Now, I knew that star. That's called a pentagram. That's for those devil worshipers. Now, I'm 11 years old. I'm walking in there, my heart's beating real fast. I'm thinking, I should have listened to my mom. I shouldn't be here. And they want to go further. They wanted to climb the ladder, so I climbed the ladder. I don't remember if we slid down the pole. I don't think we slid down the pole. But I wanted to get out of there. I had this fear of the devil. Here's devil worshipers. Here's, you know, I pictured in my mind these fellas that had been there the night before. And they were probably dressed in all black and had a big old hood covering their face. And they walked in there with a chalice filled with blood. And I imagine they drank blood and they recited incantations. And they had a weird time of celebrating and worshiping the devil. And I just didn't want to be there for that. Can I tell you this morning? Satan's tricked you. Satan's lied to you. You thought Satan was in the darkness when he's been hiding in the light all along. You thought Satan was out there hiding in abandoned firehouses waiting for dudes to wear black and walk in there and drink blood, and he's been involved in religion this whole time. Satan's built more religions than anybody. Amen. Satan's tricked us. I had a kid in high school. I was in West Granton High School, 9th grade. This kid broke into a Catholic church. And he came back the next day. He had all these priest robes that he stole. And he had all these weird medals that they wore. And he was wearing these medals to school. And he would tell us about how he goes into graveyard at night. And he reads from this weird book. And he had that weird book on his desk. He's 14 years old, this kid. He has this weird book on his desk filled with spells or some junk. I tell you, I was creeped out by that kid. Can I tell you, he went out in the graveyard at night and tried to read these things, and Satan never heard him. You hear me? Satan never heard him. Satan's got this whole sect of losers that worship him, and Satan's not anywhere near that, folks. Satan's disguised himself as an angel of light. I'd like to come this morning, and I'd like to unmask the devil. This morning, I'd like to tell you who the devil really is. Today I'd like to come and tell you exactly what his plan is, and it's not what you've seen in the movies, and it's not what you've seen with these weirdos. Satan is the enemy of the saved. Satan is our enemy. He hates everything this church stands for. He hates everything this church does. He hates our Sunday school program. He hates the bus ministry. He hates Pastor Bloom. Can I tell you, folks, Satan is called the accuser. He's called the son of the morning. He's called the tempter. He is a liar. He is our adversary. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says he's the god of this world. The Bible says he's the evil one. He's the deceiver of the whole world. The scripture calls him that old serpent. The scripture says Belial, Beelzebub, Lucifer, the anointed cherub. And listen to me, Satan's not out there asking for you to worship him. He just doesn't want you to get involved in soul winning, in a separated, Bible-believing church. You do whatever you want. You don't have to worship the devil. He's already got a hold of some of you. Satan's not asking you to dress in black and drink blood in the graveyard. Satan's involved in family time. Satan's involved in making music. Satan's involved in entertainment. Satan's involved in leisure. Can I tell you, Satan's disguised himself as one of the boys. He's crafty. He's cunning. He's sneaking around. He's tiptoeing through the crowns, countries, and churches of today. And today I'd like to unmask the devil. I'd like to unmask the devil, but first I'd like to drink some water. Here's today's sponsor. Water. H2O. You get just enough and you live. You drink too much and you die. It's just how it is. You don't believe me? Swim to the bottom of the pool and stay there a while. Oh, hallelujah. I want to preach to you today on the subject. If I was the devil. My sermon today, if I was the devil. I'll put that right here. Some of y'all's kids are getting tempted because they act like the devil. No. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Bible says the devil was subtle. He's not out in your face with horns on his head. He's not out in your face with red skin and bulging muscles and a nasty looking goatee. Satan's disguised in light. I want to give you the sermon today, if I was the devil. I want to give you 5 key moves I'd make if I was the devil. 5 key moves I'd make if I was the devil. Now, I never preach a 5-point sermon. But because of the context and a pentagram having 5 points, we're going to preach a 5-point sermon. If I was the devil, number one, I'd blur the lines between good and evil. If I was the devil, I'd blur the lines between good and evil. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Can I tell you, if I was the devil, I'd blur the lines between good and evil. What I mean is I'd change my old image. I'd get rid of that old image of the devil. I'd become a new devil. I'd become the devil that sneaks in and gets a hold of your children. I'd become the devil that gets a hold of folks that are in church. If I was the devil, I'd make my own morality. You know, people make religion out of everything. They could make a religion out of trees. You ever see these dudes? They strap themselves to trees. They say, don't cut down this tree. They protect nature. They protect animals. Anything but God's morals. These folks will condemn you for eating meat while standing on a mountain of aborted children. They attack you for preaching Jesus while grooming children in public schools. I went soul winning with Jesse when he was a kid. He was about 15, 16. I was just an adult. I'm about 3 years older than you or so, right? We went soul winning. He got a bunch of teenagers together. Bunch of teenagers get it, start giving them the gospel. A teenager sharing the gospel with teenagers. Would to God we'd have more of that. And as he's giving the gospel, this lady comes out the door and she sees him over there and she says, hey, stop preaching that stuff. Those kids are minors. Stop preaching that stuff. Those kids are minors. I looked at that fabulous lady and I said, he's a minor too. Man, could we have minors preaching to minors again? They rail on our girls for dressing modestly while praising grown men who wear makeup and dresses. Deuteronomy 22:5 still says, a man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman, neither shall a woman put on a man's garment. All that do so are an abomination to the Lord. They chant love is love while hating those who stand for normal old-fashioned marriage. They tell us we can't counsel a confused young person while they stand by ready with a scalpel and fake body parts. They've built their own pulpit. These wicked people with their own morals, they stand behind their own pulpit and they wag their finger at those who follow God's morals. Hater! Bigot! Homophobe! Racist! Climate denier! I think of Ahab who said to Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel? When it was Ahab all along that troubled Israel. I visited once Emmett Street. You folks go to Emmett Street. I went over there with my sister years ago. We were soul winning. We knocked on a door. Lady came to the door. I don't know how that kid's sleeping through this. Somebody pour water on him. We went and I'm kind of kidding. I'm kind of serious. I don't care if you do. good night. We'd have a good wake-up call. We knocked on this lady's door. She came to the door. My sister started talking to her, started sharing the gospel with her. And then I chimed in and I finished. I was talking to this lady, and this lady finally looks at us square in the face. And she says, I'm a lesbian. And she said, would your pastor marry me and my girlfriend? I said, no, absolutely not. Now she's on her moral high horse here. See, we're the bad guys. We're the bad guys for standing what God said for thousands of years. We're the ones that need to be put in our place now. You see, the Sodomites have come out of the closet, and they said to the Christians, you get in the closet now. What a weird, messed up world we got. If I was the devil, I'd make my own morality. If I was the devil, I'd say there are no absolutes. We got pastors today that are marrying two Sodomites. We got churches today that are ordaining them as pastors. Every evil, abominable, wicked, sinful thing has come out of the closet, and they took the high ground while they've pushed us into the closet. Christian everything. Christians accept anything that's on a Christian label. If it says Christian on it, they go for it. If it says Jesus on it, it's like, oh yeah, that's ours. As though it's a brand. They give you Christian rock, and you say, wow, look at that, Christian rock. I'll listen to that. They give you Christian movies. They give you Christian dating. They say Christians could drink alcohol, just do it socially. A musical called Jesus Christ Superstar. That's out of the pits of hell, and you know it. And just recently, they took a lady. A bald lady who is an open lesbian, and they're making her Jesus Christ in the musical. She gets to play Jesus in this musical. It's the same chick from that movie Wicked. Y'all heard of that movie Wicked, the green chick? That's her. She's going to be Jesus in the musical. If I were the devil, I'd blur the lines between good and evil. Number two, if I were the devil, I'd get involved in religion. If I were the devil, I'd get involved in religion. Now, you could loosen your seatbelts. We're going to have a good time. These next few minutes, they won't be turbulent at all, and I imagine everybody's going to agree on the things I'm fixing to say. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Galatians 1:8, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. 1800s, Joseph Smith's walking around doing nothing. The angel moroni comes and taps him on the shoulder, says, hey, Joe, go dig over here. Oh, all right. And he takes a shovel and he follows the angel. You know, he goes, digs a hole, and whoa, there's golden tablets down there with Egyptian hieroglyphics on them. Oh, but Joe Smith, he knows how to read Egyptian. He goes behind a curtain in his house. Nobody's allowed behind that curtain while the prophet Joseph Smith is back there. And he begins deciphering this and comes up with a book called the Book of Mormon. And he's written several books. There's the Book of Mormon. There's the Book of Joseph Smith. There's the Pearl of Great Price. There's all of these things, and they're all straight out the pits of hell. If anybody preaches another gospel, even an angel gives you another gospel, let him be accursed. You say, where are those golden tablets? Nobody ever saw them. Never. They never existed. The dude's a cult leader. Wanted a couple more wives and got him a couple more wives with his cult. Muhammad claim that Gabriel, the angel, gave him the Quran. He said, oh, that's not what I heard, Brother Eric. I heard he got it from Allah himself. Yeah, the Quran says that too. It also says that he got it from the Holy Spirit. Muhammad, make up your mind, dude. In the same book, three different ways, he got the Quran. I'll tell you where he got it from: the pits of hell and devil himself. That's where he got the Quran. You folks can say amen right there, because Islam is a joke and it's straight out the pits of hell. Muhammad, Satan knows that people have spiritual void. They desire rules, morals, and tenets. He simply meets the needs of the people. Satan comes along with a new religion. Listen to me. Satan's not out there running with the devil worshipers. He's too busy with the religions he's got. A drunk man sits down on a subway train next to a Catholic priest. The man reeked of a stale beer and cigarette smoke. His tie was stained and his shirt was filthy, his face plastered with red lipstick, and a half-empty bottle of gin was sticking out of his torn coat pockets. The man opened his newspaper and began reading. After a few minutes, the man turned to the priest and asked, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" The priest, obviously bothered by the man's foul stench and abhorrent behavior, sternly replies, "My son, it is caused by loose living, being with cheap, wicked women, too much alcohol, contempt for your fellow man, sleeping around with prostitutes, and lack of a bath." The drunk man looked up for a second, muttered in response, "Well, I'll be darned." He then returned to reading his newspaper. The priest, beginning to think he may have been a little harsh, nudged the man and apologized, "I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to come on so strong. How long have you had arthritis?" "Oh, I don't have arthritis. The newspaper says the Pope has it." You know, they're worried right now about the Pope's health. He's been in the hospital some 2 weeks. So what do you think about the Pope's health? The Pope's an antichrist. He is an antichrist. He is the top of a religion that hates Jesus Christ, and they have put their Christian stamp on it, and they pretend it's something, but it is straight out of the pits of hell. Right now, in New York, the Muslims are celebrating the purchase of a famous cathedral they bought from the Catholics. They are looking at this as some kind of an overcoming of the Christian faith. All I see it as Satan rebranding from one brand to another. But it's the same old devil. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's not through a priest. It's not through a pope. It's not through a bishop. It's not through a program. It's not through a church. It's not through a book. It's not, except for the Bible. It's not through any of these weird religions. It's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The news ain't going to tell you this. 70 Christians were beheaded in the Congo. Y'all remember Valentine's Day? You took your girl out, you had a good time. The day before Valentine's Day, that Thursday, the Muslims went around in the Congo. They gathered 70 believers. They brought them into a local Protestant church building. And they cut off 70 heads. And the news hasn't said a thing. If I were the devil, I'd make up my own religions. I'd get these people believing this stuff. If I was the devil, I'd get rid of the Bible. The ESV, y'all ever heard of the ESV, the English Standard Version? They have a new version of the ESV coming, and it's got a bunch of new changes to it. And folks are all excited. Look, we're updating the ESV. How are you updating God's words? If those was God's words, how are you updating what He said when He said, "I am the Lord, I change not"? Oh, we got to make it modern with the times. Do you know that the ESV already has 540 editions in print? 540 different versions of the ESV, one Bible. 540 different versions. So if we had an ESV church and I said, "Oh, take your ESV and let's all stand together, thus maybe saith the Lord," you know, and we just went through, yours would all be different. There's 540 different flavors of the ESV. And that's just one Bible. There's over 450 English translations alone. And then of those translations, they got all their editions. I mean, it's a mess. And yet the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. A couple years back, everybody was raving, "Kanye West is a Christian. We need to get Kanye West's new CD. He's a Christian now." Y'all heard him last year? Kanye West says, "I have my issues with Jesus. There's a lot of stuff I went through that I prayed and didn't see Jesus show up." Kanye West said, I'm God, and anyone to disagree, I'm the God of me, and you can't tell me who I am. I'm the God of me. I don't know if I'm in heaven already. We better get his CD and listen to it. Huh? That's what modern religion says. I said, number one, if I was the devil, I'd blur the lines between good and evil. Number two, if I was the devil, I'd get involved in religion. Satan has a religion for everybody. He's created atheism for the skeptics who wish there was no God. He's created Islam for the angry and hateful to have something to rally behind. He's created Catholicism for the proud, Scientology for the wealthy. If you're into secrets and new doctrine and new knowledge, you could be a Jehovah's Witness or get into Seventh-day Adventists. You want a religion that supports more wives? Be a Mormon. Who would want more wives? Cover your ears, sweetheart. Who would want more wives? She's great. I love her. She's fantastic. Who the heck wants four of them? My wife and I made a decision that we will never go to bed angry with each other. So we've been up for 4 days straight. ChatGPT. How many ever heard of ChatGPT? AI thing on Google? You type it in. They asked it recently. They said, what is the true religion? And even the AI said, the most likely true religion is Christianity. Then the guy said, why? And it said, the martyrs. It said, the stability over the years, the fact that things have stayed the same. Even a robot knows. Do you think Satan knows? Do you think Satan's looking? Listen, Satan wants you to be involved in anything but the true religion. And if you get a hold of Jesus and you get a hold of this way, then he's got ways in there too. He's got all these different brands of Christianity. Everything's got a Christian sticker on it. We got the washed up Christianity to contain the zeal of those who might do something for God. Go be a new evangelical. Go speak tongues for a while with the Pentecostals. Or go sit and study with the non-denominational folks. Anything but Bible-believing Christianity. Anything but a soul-winning church. You want to get the devil mad? Watch this. Go soul-winning. Go soul-winning. You want to get the devil angry and see if he's real? You go lead a few people to the Lord. Miss Diane, I can't get an amen because you're a woman. But could you just wave? Hallelujah. You know, it's true. You go soul-winning, you're getting attacked, man. You're getting attacked. I said, number one, if I was the devil, I'd blur the lines between good and evil. Number two, and I must hasten because I'll go all day. Number two, if I were the devil, I'd get involved in religion. Number three, buckle your seatbelts. If I were the devil, I'd get Christians involved elsewhere. If I were the devil, I'd get Christians involved elsewhere. 1 Kings 6:38, in the 11th year, in a month, but Bol, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. Solomon spent 7 years building the temple. Watch this. Chapter 7, verse 1. But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. Do you know, if you look at the specs, Solomon's house is almost twice as big as the temple. His yard, his courthouse around it, is almost twice as big as what he made for the temple. Listen, Satan wants you to serve God. Go ahead, have a good time, but don't put all your time there. Put your time on yourself. Put your time on your family. Put your time on your things. Build up your accounts. Serve God later. If I was the devil, I'd get Christians involved elsewhere. Listen to me. I'd equate ministry with politics. I'd equate ministry with politics as though they're equal. Now, I'm enjoying Trump. I'm having a great time. I'm watching what he's doing every day. It's like Christmas every day. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But if Trump goes around and drains the swamp and cleans this world up a little bit and gets everything going, the majority of Americans are still dying and going to hell. We need a revival, and that's got to be the main thing you pray for. One great awakening would do more for this country than 1,000 Trumps. Do you understand that? If I were the devil, I'd equate ministry with politics. Now, I'm a conservative, but way down here. Up here, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist Christian. Way down here is Republican and conservative. That's way down here. I like the MAGA movement, but I can't yoke up with them. Daily Wire puts out movies, conservative movies. They're as filthy as Hollywood. People watch South Park, and they're like, wow, look at South Park. You know what I'm talking about? Little fat guy. You know what I'm talking about? The cartoon South Park. I don't watch that, by the way. But they got conservative values in there. They promote Trump and good stuff in there. Christians got no business in that. Did you hear me? I said Christians got no business in that. I'd equate ministry with politics. We had this last year. Ecumenicalism. You know what ecumenicalism is? It's where you get all the churches together for one big movement. All the churches, put your doctrine aside, let's all get together for one big movement. Jerry Falwell did this. It was called the Moral Majority. He got the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody who had some sense of morals, and he said, we need to come together to save the country. And it ruined his ministry. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between Jerry Falwell and what Christians are doing today? Do you know Christians knocked more doors for Trump in a week than they knocked for Jesus in over a decade? More doors for Trump. And I love Trump. But he ain't saving the country, folks. We need a revival. And folks all got together and they said, wow, look at how great the country's going. Look at Pennsylvania. Scott Pressler did a great thing. He won us Pennsylvania. Scott Pressler's a sodomite. How have we forgotten that? How have we such conformed to this world? Satan's got a hold of us, grabbed us by the ear and said, come on, Christian, let's do something else. If I were the devil, I'd get you to focus on family time. I think your family ought to be built around the church, and I believe that, and I believe in it, I believe in it, I believe in it, and you won't change my mind. I think your family ought to be built around the church. I think the church events ought to be your events. I think you ought to schedule, okay, there's a movie night coming up, I'm coming, and I'm bringing my folks. We're going to have a great time. If I were the devil, I'd make Sunday all about football. Just think about it. Got Christians so distracted that in church during football season, they're on their phones checking the scores. And can I tell you, I'm sick and tired of Christians who jump up and down and get excited because some fat dude runs a ball across the field, and when the preacher preaches, they'll never say amen. Amen. I know what gets you going. I know what you're excited about. If I were the devil, I'd make Sunday fun day. Forget church. If I were the devil, I'd get Christians involved in other things. If I were the devil, I'd get you involved in hobbies. No, I have four hobbies. I love them. I tell my wife, I take my hobby to my hobby. What do you mean? I ride my motorcycle to go bowling. I literally strap my ball and my bag and my shoes. I strap the little bag on the back of the motorcycle, and I ride my hobby to my hobby. I got nothing against hobbies, man. I got too many of them. I go hunting once a year. I just go out there and look and say, wow, I wish a deer would come. Because if he did, I'd threaten to shoot him. I don't know if I would because I never see them. Y'all know about hunting. Come talk to me. I want to know. I'd like to go fishing more. I don't have time. If I were the devil, I've got to hasten for time. I'd get Christians involved with money. Number four. If I were the devil, I'd find a way into your home. Let me say that again. If I were the devil, I'd find a way into your home. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I don't need you to open the door all the way. I don't need you to let me in. Just leave it open a crack and I'll get in. Can I tell you, folks, Satan's got a bid for your family. Satan's after your wife. Satan's after your husband. Satan's after your children. And we let these innocent-looking things in our lives and say, this will be okay. Let me put a TV in my kid's room and let him do whatever he wants. Let me give him unlimited, unfiltered access to the internet. He won't get in trouble. Kids, cover your ears. I'm serious. Cover your ears. Somebody said, give a kid a cell phone when you want them to look at porn. When you're ready for a kid to find porn, you give them their own cell phone. Kids, you could uncover your ears now. Hope you didn't hear me. Sleepovers. My kids don't do them. You say, why? It's dangerous. I've been training my kids for all these years. Luke's going to be 16. I've been training them a certain way for all these years. I let one kid that's got one thing in his mind that he wants to talk about at 4 in the morning that my kids will never forget. I ain't doing it. Y'all be careful. You leave that door open a crack for the devil, he'll barge his way in. In Philadelphia today, right now, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a couple hours down the road, they're having what's called for kids. They have kids' days right now going on. They have a pink pony club party for kids. So I don't know what a pink pony club is. It's a song written by a lady who's an open lesbian who dresses like a man in drag. That's how she dresses. That's her personality. She lives with a woman. And what's the pink pony club song about? It's a gay bar. I'm going to keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club. Come on. And parents grab their kids' hands and say, let's go sing the Pink Pony song, you fools. Satan's right there. He's the one grabbing your kid's hand. Won't be long. Let me read you some Taylor Swift. You ready? Taylor Swift lyrics. This is a song called But Daddy, I Love Him. I forgot how the West was won. I forgot if this was ever fun. I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned these people try and save you because they hate you. Oh, Taylor Swift, she's nice. She's a devil. Too high a horse for a simple girl to rise above it. They slammed the door on my whole world, the only thing I wanted. Now I'm running with my dress unbuttoned, screaming, but daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not, but you should see your faces. I'm telling him to floor it through the fences. No, I'm not coming to my senses. I know he's crazy, but he's the one I want. Listen, dutiful daughter, all my plans were laid, tendrils tucked in a woven braid. Growing up precocious sometimes means not growing up at all. He was chaos, he was revelry, bedroom eyes like a remedy. Soon enough, the elders had convened down at the city hall. Stay away from her. The saboteurs protested too much. Lord knows the worlds we never heard just screeched tires in true love. And now I'm running with my dress unbuttoned. You go down a little further. God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. Sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see. Thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me. Come on! How are your kids listening to that? And counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny. You ain't gotta pray for me. This is just some chick singing songs to your kids. Oh, my daughter's a Swiftie. Get her out of it. Get her out of it. Me and my wild boy and all this wild joy. If all you want is gray for me, it's just like white noise and it's just my choice. Disney's fixing some stuff, but they ain't perfect. Disney came out with a movie last year called Wish. How many have ever heard of the movie Wish? Had some chick in it, and there was a little star that was her friend. You know what that was? Gnosticism for children. Look up Gnosticism. Starts with a G. Gnosticism. It's a belief that God created everything, but he's not really God. It's a belief that Lucifer is good, and Lucifer went to rescue the people in the Garden of Eden from God and his angry ways, and that Lucifer came in to free Adam and Eve. And then Sophia's involved. There's a goddess named Sophia that gets involved. Listen, if you look up Gnosticism and put it next to the movie Wish by Disney, they're the same thing. Satan's after your kids. I must hasten for time. Number five. If I were the devil, I'd make light of eternity. If I were the devil, I'd make light of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon to them. If I were the devil, I'd convince you that you're not dying anytime soon. You got time to think about it. I'd convince you it's all fairy tales. I'd convince you that you could repent another time. Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. There are folks in this room, sometimes you come here, you play around in church, you roll around and play on your phone the entire time you're here. I promise you, under the sound of my voice, if you're not saved, there will come a day when you're thrown into the devil's hell. And for all eternity, over and over again, you'll repeat this sermon in your head. You'll remember my gray suit and my weird-looking tie. You'll remember this pulpit right here. You'll remember your heart beating. You'll remember how you should have got saved. 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 I should have got saved for all eternity. Because you're too busy in church to get saved. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. Don't wait till we're done. Don't wait till the invitation. Don't wait till it's over. Don't wait till it's over for you. If I were the devil, I'd convince you you got all the time in the world to get right with God. But you don't. In closing, I'd like to give a story. There's a poor man and woman. They had nothing. Lived in a cottage in the village. Big old castle on the hill. They didn't have much. They just kind of farmed their own stuff, ate their own things they got. Poor folks. One day the king came to the door, knocked on the door of their cottage. He said, I want to give you my castle. You could have it. You could have all the rooms. You could have all the furnishings. You could have all the food I have stored. It's all yours. One condition. I get to keep one room. Just one. You get the rest, but I just want one room. Husband and wife, big old smiles. Oh, our day has come. Our day has finally come. I'll take it. I'll take it. They took their little bit of belongings. They moved into the castle. They lived there in the castle. They began raising their family in the castle. And the fella never came back. They never seen him. Never came by. They left that room open for him. But he never came by. They raised their children. They had a good time. And one day, he walked in the house. One day he walked in the castle, walked past everybody without saying a word, carrying a dead pig carcass. Walked up to his room, hung the carcass, shut the door, locked the door, and left. Days went by, no show, no call, nothing. Weeks went by, the stench became unbearable. The rot became unbearable. The house, the castle that they once loved became unbearable. Finally, the folks had to get their family, get their little bit of belongings, and move out of the castle. Let me ask you a question. What room did you give the devil? What one room? You said, God, you could have everything, anything, except for this one sin. That's my toy. I'm going to keep that. This one thing is mine. It'll rot you to your core. You'll regret the day you did it. Satan will get all of it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. We'll close. This is the invitation. I wonder if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that heard this message and would like to